You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Returns. U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The newest candidate for the GOP presidential nomination is being accused of sending an anti-Wall Street message on the campaign trail.
I don't think it's right for Wall Street to be able to walk away from bad mistakes and the people on Main Street have to pay for it. That, you know, if that's populism, then I'm proud to be a populist.
On CNN's State of the Union, former Texas Governor Rick Perry said banks should instead go through bankruptcy proceedings like normal businesses and people would have to.
You make a mistake and you make bad choices, you need to pay a price in this country. I don't care who you are, whether you're a big Wall Street firm or you're a big bank. You know, that's what our bankruptcy laws are for.
Perry was speaking from Iowa Senator Johnny Ernst's Roast and Ride event that attracted nearly all the Republicans eyeing the White House. Does a man in your life suffer from an enlarged prostate? Well, a new procedure could give him some relief. Retired urologist Stephen Richardson is a clinical researcher.
The invasive surgeries have carried with them a fair number of side effects, and the medicines also had some significant side effects. But this is an office-based procedure that's done under local anesthesia, well-tolerated by the patient, and it takes less than an hour.
Retired urologist Stephen Richardson says enlarged prostates affect all men.
The enlargement of the prostate is a gradual process that takes place during life in all men. By the mid-50s, men are starting, for the most part, to have symptoms. By the time we reach 70 years of age, 90% of us will be suffering from the symptoms.
The UroLift is covered by Medicare. You can find more special interest stories, news, and headlines online at usaheadlinenews.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Here's a local weather forecast, Flemington and the surrounding area. Outside right now, it's about 68 degrees. So today's slight chance of showers this afternoon, possible thunderstorms after 3 p.m. Otherwise, cloudy with a high near 80. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely earlier in the evening, and again later on at night, low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy otherwise with a high in the 80s. And again, Tuesday night, possible scattered thunderstorms. Mostly clear, a little around 61 after that. Sunny on Wednesday, high in the 80s. Wednesday night, clear, low in the 60s. Again, Thursday, looks good, high in the upper 80s. Low on the overnight Thursday in the 60s. And the same for Friday, upper 80s. Friday night, again, possible, at least from this long-term forecast, looks like a slight chance of thunderstorms and showers. Hopefully the weekend's clear. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. And Chef over here at Jake's in Flemington. We get together every Monday to talk about food, beverage, celebrations, occasions, other random topics that come across our mind during the week. And it looks like, of course, this week, well, some school districts, K through 12 graduations will start probably this weekend. I would say the weekend following would be the big one. So this month, besides Father's Day, of course, not always thought of as a huge food holiday, but certainly one worth considering, whether you go out or have something at home, or you could even combine it with graduation. Graduation parties are coming up for a lot of people, and sometimes they're very simple. Folks may choose just to go out for lunch or dinner afterwards. And we see, you know, from the catering end that many people just wait for the weekend and have a nice cookout, barbecue, picnic, whatever you want to call it. Weather's nice, hopefully. And if people have pools, the pools are open, or if not, you know, some people go somewhere. But it seems to be a good occasion for celebration. Why not, right? You always find a small reason. Anyway, so today, I'd probably like to give you some hints about not just planning the occasion, but a lot of people nowadays may not make everything themselves, of course, because of time. If you're going to have something right after an event like a graduation, of course, it's hard to be in two places at once. So we often rely on caterers or supermarkets that have prepared foods or a catering. Most big stores have a catering division now where you can get platters, things prepared. You may have a favorite restaurant that you go to. Not saying these are full-blown catered affairs, but a lot of times it's a combination between something you make yourself or something you're going to cook yourself and then maybe augment it with some other foods. And, of course, the most obvious would be, an occasion cake. So we'll give you some hints about how to negotiate that, because sometimes you don't know how much food to order, you know, what type of thing. I don't want to run out, but I don't want to have too much. What am I going to do with it afterwards? And also the safety aspect of it, especially in the summertime. You have to worry about food safety. And we're up to letter Q, which is really difficult. Probably should have combined it with R, but there's a lot of words with R. Now we'll find a couple of things. Now, eating the week. Today is World Oceans Day. And this is to kind of keep us in touch with, you know, what we're doing to the waters. And I look at it from the standpoint of also sustainable seafood, and you see that word a lot now, sustainable. Not only people want organic, or you want natural or local, but also sustainable. What is that word? Another one that's, how is it defined? Sustainable means that we keep the species going, or whatever, you know, whether we're growing something or harvesting something, or does it mean that we don't do something artificial to it to mess up its ecosystem or environment? There's a lot of ways you could take sustainable. And also the, you know, pollution of the water. Obviously the ocean's very big, but I'm still, you know, recent memory, a couple of years ago, that oil spill in the Gulf there was, it messed up a lot of local fishing industry. Nobody knew, you know, where's this stuff going to end up? What's it going to do to the water? What's the long-term effect? Yeah, it's been a couple of years, but we still probably don't realize the full effect of something like that. Even though, yes, the ocean or the Gulf is very big, you know, sooner or later, something may affect it. But sustainable, for seafood now, most commercial fishermen, fisher people, whatever you want to term them, you don't want to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. Of course, obviously, you want to keep enough species out there so you can reproduce and keep growing to market weight or to harvest weight. So there are limits. We do this by mandating quotas. So for something like scallops, for example, the quotas reset every March, and every fishing company, when you report what you've harvested, and then when you get to your limit, then you don't harvest those anymore. You go after something else. Maybe only fishing a certain depth or in certain areas. Maybe it'll rotate. Some fishing areas might shut down certain times of the year, just to let the fish grow back up, and nature will take care of that, but we have to allow her to do that. So when you're checking your seafood out, of course, there's international waters. There's companies out there that really don't care. They're just going to take what they can get. We've already done, well, the cod industry is the big one for that. Example of really fishing out. I know sturgeons, for me, used to use it in the 80s, but you don't see wild sturgeon anymore. I think back the early 1900s, the caviar was kind of a bar snack. And, of course, the fish were caught, and they just took the eggs out, and nobody ate the fish, and then sooner or later you get fished out. Just don't see them around anymore. Sad thing, because the sturgeon as a food fish is pretty tasty. Used to call it veal of the sea. Acts just like veal. So sustainable, most markets now will tell you, and even, you know, farm raising, sustainable could mean, are you not damaging the environment too much with wastewater? Are you not, mishandling the fish? It's a tough question, and you see more and more, as consumers are demanding this accountability, that companies will start to use best practices in maintaining our seafood supply so we can all enjoy it. The 9th Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. First pies of the spring, the first fruit pies. Strawberries are great, of course, and a lot of people like to combine them with the tart rhubarb. Iced tea, which almost bears topping, new popular beverage now, as people are gravitating away from the sugary carbonated beverages, although you have to be careful with tea. I mean, you can still get a lot of sugar in tea. I like tea for making, say you're making what we call mocktails or non-alcoholic drinks, and we ran into this over at our college program when we do dinners. Of course, you're trying to find something that's non-alcoholic, and tea has tannins, the bitterness, just like red wine grapes. And when you're making Yuzu punches, of course, there's, again, a lot of sugar and maybe some acid in there. My favorite combination was to use some pomegranate or blueberry, something dark, and then some brewed tea. And that, you know, it almost gives you kind of a red wine type effect. Now you're putting other sweetened things in there, but that... the pomegranate and the tea. Raspberry is good, of course, but different, the darker fruits, peach tea, we used to brew it, and instead of ice cubes, use actually frozen chunks of peaches in there as the ice, and it kind of flavors it nicely, and then you have some fruit tea also. So iced tea day on the 10th, good summer beverage, although year-round it seems to be, again, people that don't want alcoholic beverages, especially at lunchtime, and don't want soda, you know, there's not too much else left, so the iced tea becomes the go-to. 11th, corn on the cob. Of course, in the Northeast, we might be a little while before that corn shows up, but other parts of the country still could get some, starting already. The 12th, peanut butter cookie day. Remember those favorite, some of the times they put the chocolate in there, the Reese's Pieces or a little chocolate drop. We always had the ones with the crisscross with the fork on it. Nice, soft cookie. 13th, Kitchen Klutzes of America. I guess they ran out of food topics, and now we're going to celebrate people that just can't make it in the kitchen. And we might address this topic later, at a later time or later date, so people don't really feel so bad. But this is the day that, you know, some people just are better off. I know I have people I know, and I say, you know, I'd rather clean up or wash the dishes. I really don't feel comfortable you know, just accidents. Not anything on purpose. Nobody's really getting hurt, but just accidents waiting to happen. Could be just nervousness. Who knows? And 14th Strawberry Shortcake, which we can, between the strawberry rhubarb and strawberry shortcake, could be a good week if the strawberries are coming already, is to enjoy them. We've got a break for a couple of messages here on the quarter hour, and we'll be back, explore a couple of, well, a couple of things with Q, talk about catering, kind of planning your event, and see where we end up, Sheffield's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, HunterdonChamber.org, for more information today.
Back at the table here. Oh, by the way, yeah, strawberry shortcake. I mentioned that was the 14th, and it's also Bourbon Day. I always try to find at least once a week, try to find a beverage. My order always said, you know, you got all these food days. What about wine day? What about whiskey? So, bourbon, good American product. It's our whiskey, Scotch whiskeys, Canadian whiskeys. Bourbon is ours, of course, with corn. Naturally, bourbon has to be at least 51% corn to be called bourbon. And the old single cask, single malts, that whole trend there with what we call the brown spirits bourbons seem to be coming back in vogue. So if you're in the mood, of course, try a little bourbon. Strawberry shortcake. So, of course, you've got several ways we can do this. The obvious one, in the grocery stores, you see those little round sponge cakes, which are pretty good, right? They absorb a lot of the liquid. I like to do with the strawberries is a little sugar on them, and it's probably recipes. I kind of do it to taste, and what the sugar does besides sweeten them, and you use the, it varies according to how ripe the berries are. Sometimes the off-season berries need a little help. Perfectly ripe ones, you may not need that much sugar, but you do need the sugar to draw out the juices. So, after the strawberries are washed and hulled, if you leave them whole, it's a little tougher to extract the juice. Sometimes what we do is we like to slice some or cut some in halves and let those macerate with the sugar to draw the juice out, and you save a few of the nice ones for a garnish on top of your shortcake. And in one hotel I worked at, we did strawberry ice cream shortcake. So instead of you have your whipped cream, it was kind of building an ice cream dessert. And we used a biscuit, homemade biscuit. That's probably my favorite, because the biscuits you can make with, added, of course, a little bit of sugar. You know, you're not as sweet as the sponge cakes, which I think is kind of nice, having that little saltier balance against the sweet of the berries. And also the texture is good. It soaks up the juice very well. Scones will work. Scones even a little drier. Some people like angel food cake. And if you're watching cholesterol, want to do something very light, of course, angel food cake always works. I think, what is it, that one, it usually was done with, I think, frozen raspberries, but the English dessert there, when you have a lot of juicy fruits and then you have cake, or bread, actually, they made it with, was you take plain grocery store bread or any kind of bread and take the crust off and kind of press the berries in with the bread. And you've got the sweetened berry juice, and the bread kind of disappears, and you've got this nice fruit, forget the name of it, nice fruit cake. Pound cake, again, if you're in a pinch, don't have time to bake. Pound cake always works. It's a little firmer. We've done actually kind of a picnic version of this. I've done a strawberry soup. Fruit soups are relatively easy. You need just a little, I like to use, of course, some sparkling wine as the base. But you could use club soda with maybe a little lemon-lime soda if you want. You want a little bit of sugar in there. Or some fruit juices and puree. Add sugar if you need to. And it's something you can take on a picnic in a thermos. Stays cold. And then I made little croutons out of the pound cake. So you just take your pound cake, which is fairly firm, cut your little cubes there and toast it. Let it dry out a little bit so it's nice and crunchy. So kind of a, not focusing on the cake part so much, but more on the strawberries. So one thought for something portable, but strawberry shortcake, I don't know, quintessential summer dessert for me. And other berries, too, as they come into season. Nothing wrong by the 4th of July of a red, white, and blue one, right? At least some blueberries, some blackberries, raspberries if you like them. But go very well with the shortcake, the whipped cream, and or ice cream. Makes a great summer dessert. So we're up to letter Q, and difficult cooking utensils. I guess if you put the word quick in front of anything, you could call it a Q word. But a couple of products that are out there that may or may not be familiar with. Let's see. Well, quiche, if you see it on a menu, of course, most people probably know what a quiche is. For those that are not initiated to that, it's a custard baked in a crust. And always the two things to watch out for that. I like to blind bake the crust, which means line your pie shell with parchment or foil. Parchment's usually easier. And then use the pie weights, these metal pellets that you can reuse. And what it does is it sets that pie crust so that the crust doesn't get soggy. You want still to prevent some of the moisture from going in there. Some people use dried beans, some rice, which may give maybe kind of an aroma, especially if you haven't used them before. Pie weights are also nice. The metal transfers the heat better. Oftentimes you'll see in recipes when you're blind baking a crust, you'll blind bake it for 10 minutes, but then you need to take the paper and the weights out and still let it brown a little bit. But definitely for a quiche, blind bake is the way. Another trick that's used is just to brush the crust with beaten egg before you fill it. And that kind of puts a barrier there too, because the egg will set before the filling. If it's a quiche, of course, it's a custard filling, but you have it stretched out with milk or cream. And the other issue with quiches is what's the ratio? What's the ratio from eggs to milk or cream? Now, of course, the richer the dairy product you use, the richer your quiche is going to be. So you could use regular milk, low fat. You could use heavy cream. You could use half and half. We like half and half, used to be referred to as light cream. That's probably enough milk fat. And my ratio is 10 eggs to a quart. Englishman I worked with years ago at the Lake Placid Club, that was his ratio. And it seems to work. You'll see some recipes that'll say, could do one egg to a cup of liquid. That, to me, that doesn't set the custard enough. Sometimes you'll get watery custard. It'll be too loose. You want to be able to slice it. Some people use a combination of eggs and egg yolks. And of course, the egg yolks provide a little bit more fat and also the thickening power, the lecithin, is in egg yolks, also in milk or cream, but egg yolks are a good source of that. So, but again, 10 eggs to a quart of light cream gives you a strong enough custard that's not too much like a frittata. You don't want the quiche to be like an omelet. You don't want it all egg. It's got to showcase the filling a little bit, and you want it to be a little bit more delicate. So, you have your custard, and when you're blending it, of course, you don't want to whisk it so much that a lot of air gets in there. You don't want air bubbles in there. So you're going to blend the eggs and the cream. And the way to make sure you don't have any little solid pieces of white in there, of course, is to strain them. We always did this in, again, commercial operations, even eggs for scrambled eggs or omelets. You're cracking 30 dozen eggs. We would always pass them through a strainer. Make sure that no little bits of shell are in there, but also some of the albumin, some of the protein in the whites needs to get broken up. You don't want this little chunks of egg white in there. And with very fresh eggs, of course, that protein's very firm. It's very pretty strong. So you want to break that up a little bit. And passing it through the strainer will absolutely do that. So that's your tips on quiche. We'll come back. We're going to talk about a quenelle, Q-U-E-N-E-L-L-E, if you've ever seen that on a menu, and the quahog clam. Forget about the poor quahogs. So, after the news, we'll come back, explore letter Q a little bit more, and then talk about planning your party for graduation and or Father's Day. Chef Bill's Table.
Thank you.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. President Obama says the U.S. and allies are committed to continuing sanctions against Russia for its actions in Ukraine.
Russian forces continue to operate in eastern Ukraine, violating Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. This is now the second year in a row that the G7 has met without Russia.
During a news briefing at the G7 summit in Germany, Obama said sanctions are having an impact and are hurting Russia. The fight against ISIS will also be a big topic between President Obama and Iraq's prime minister at the G7 summit today. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said having Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi at the summit will give G7 nations a chance to voice their continued support for the coalition's efforts against ISIS in Iraq. People in the Dallas suburb of McKinney, Texas, will take to the streets tonight over what they believe is a police officer using excessive force. Video shows the officer pulling his gun on unarmed teenagers at a pool party Friday, throwing a 15-year-old to the ground, handcuffing her, then pinning her to the ground for several minutes. This is USA Headline News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin. Hey, could your hair use a little pick-me-up like mine? Well, I've got the pick-me-up that I've been using. It's Ovation Cell Therapy. It's for anyone looking for a healthier, thicker, longer head of hair. It works for me, and I know it could work for you. My girls love it. They have really long hair, and it's worked wonderfully for them. If you want thicker, stronger, longer, and more healthy hair, try Ovation Cell Therapy Hair Care System. Go to ovationhair.com and see why the Ovation Cell Therapy customers love the product. Here's one of the customers said, "You've won me over, and from this point on, I'm telling everyone and their mom about Ovation. Try Ovation Cell Therapy, and it's not just for ladies, it's for men too, which means the men's formula would be a great Father's Day gift." Hint, hint. Go to ovationhair.com and be sure to select Angie Austin Daybreak USA. So Daybreak USA, Angie Austin at checkout. You'll get a special introductory discount. That's always nice to get a discount. That's ovationhair.com. Again, ovationhair.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All right, back at the table here, Chef Bill, going through the a couple of cue words here. Oh, by the way, of course, this next Monday, which will give us a good show, Lobster Day next Monday, give you a little heads up. I think it was last week in the Times, Sam Sifton, he did a couple of tips for summer cooking. Nice little article. Just said, you know, you're going to be doing maybe a lot of the cookouts or a lot of similar things, and he just a couple of basic recipes that he said, you know, you could use and repeat during the cookout season. One was a basic barbecue rub, which is always a nice thing to have in your toolbox, especially making spice mixtures is difficult for a lot of people if you don't usually carry certain spices around. I know that companies have started making little kits or little blends, but what you do is make a batch of this stuff, and usually spice mixes, that's, you know, some recipes are tough to scale up or down in proportion, but spice rubs, absolutely, you know, if you have something that makes half a cup of rub, you can easily multiply everything and make a thing of your mix. You get your own all-purpose seasoning mix. Again, the advantage to, if you have a favorite one you like to buy, but sometimes it's nice to play with your own. And many of the commercial ones, of course, have a lot of salt. That's the profit maker there. Stretch it out with salt. Now, you do need some salt in a spice rub because you have to kind of spread the other flavorings around. I know for our Cajun spice at Jake's, for example, we use I've used, well, Paul Perdomo's recipe, but I cut the salt in half. You can't eliminate it altogether because then you're getting too much intense pepper flavors and the other things. So you do need some salt, but you can really look at the ingredients, a lot of rubs. Do you want sugar in it? Do you not want sugar? You could have a basic one and then customize it. But the other thing was with this article was lobster butter. Now, you all make lobster stock. I do anyway. We're running lobster sliders now at the restaurant. So we have all these lobster shells. So last night, after I made lobster stock, which doesn't take long at all, not like meat stocks or chicken stocks. It's only it's really like an hour or so process after the liquid comes to a simmer. Your basic aromatics time. We had some tarragon growing, so I threw a little tarragon in there. It always seems to go well with lobster. I made some lobster broth, and I also tried this lobster butter. See, I took the shells, cooked shells, because we cooked the lobsters, of course, for our lobster sliders, and I kind of crushed them up with a mallet and melted some butter. And I actually added a little water to the butter. Remember, butter is an emulsion. Butter does contain about up to 20% water and or milk solids. So you heat the butter slowly. It's kind of like butter poaching, but you're just butter poaching these cooked lobster shells, the body cavity, the claws, everything. So you've got some goodies in there. It's good seasoning. So you've done salted butter and added a little bit of water, and you can see it gets real creamy. You don't want it to boil too hard. You don't want to brown it. So I let it maybe a good hour or so. Just let it extract all that flavor. Of course, you can taste it. And then strained it. Now, the thing is, what you'll have is butter will be separated when you heat it up. And now we have to get this back together. So I let it cool down a little bit to almost room temperature. And then an ice bath with a little water. Stainless steel bowl, of course, transfers that heat or cold very quickly. And with a whisk. Not a piano whisk, but the heavy roux whisk, the firmer one, French roux, R-O-U-X, the thing for making sauces. So with the whisk, I started whisking the melted butter, and of course it's coming together, the liquid and the butter fat. And then fairly rapidly, you could see it start to cool down and start to solidify. And as soon as that happens, I took it all out of the ice and kept whisking it. So it didn't get grainy. It went smooth. A little bit of the water was still left because I had added some, but really it came back together because you want this, you don't want that separate, just clear butter fat and then the milk solids. I mean, I guess you could do that if you wanted to have maybe a cooking butter, but this stuff, I'll tell you what, you have salt potatoes, our old Syracuse specialty there, the potatoes cooked in the brine, and some of this, usually we serve them with melted butter, but my new thing now is going to be lobster butter. I'll tell you, it's just got a very nice, subtle lobster flavor to it. It was spreadable. I spread a little bit on bread. It was smooth. Sometimes melted butter gets kind of grainy. But, whisking it back together worked. So this lobster butter was a great trick because, how much lobster? Sometimes, you've got a lot of lobster broth. What are you going to use it for? Do you freeze it? But the lobster butter, you're capturing this flavor. And Mr. Sifton's idea was instead of a lot of broth, you just have a little bit of butter and you can save it to enrich sauces or, as I said, on a boiled or salt potato. Nothing better. So it's just a little tip. Sometimes I just like to check these things out and play around. So another Q, a quenelle. Q-U-E-N-E-L-L-E. So you may see this on a menu. Usually, again, some of these, I guess I gravitate toward the French terms. It was kind of a dumpling. It comes from German. Knödel. K-N-O-D-E-L. I guess that's the translation. So it's an egg-shaped dumpling. And oftentimes with white fish or what we call a force meat, maybe veal or pork. Ground very finely. You could do it with poultry also, usually bound with some eggs and cream. And you make the egg shape, with 2 teaspoons or 2 tablespoons, depending on the size you want. You scoop a spoonful and then 1 spoon over top of the other. You kind of, in a circular motion, just kind of move the canal back and forth between the 2 spoons till you get this nice oval shape. And then, of course, you'll drop it in your poaching liquid and serve it with a sauce. But now you'll see that shape used for, say, sorbets or gelatos. Oftentimes you'll see, again, if you're doing, a little sampler or something, the ice will be formed in the shape of an egg, a canal. Good for garnishes. So we've done it with, you could do it with, say, an olive tapenade. Anything that can hold its shape, you can, if you want to just wow your friends with presentation, make it into a little dumpling shape, and you've got that nice little appearance. Especially if you have several products on one plate. And, of course, the old quahog clam. And now, technically speaking, the hard shell clam, that's the variety, the quahog, Q-U-O-H-O-G, pronounced quahog. But now they refer to really what we call chowder clams, the biggest ones. You've got little necks, middle necks, top necks, cherry stones. And the chowder clams are, you don't really eat those half shell. They're pretty big. But I like the stuffies. I had them up in New England years ago. I've made them before. It's kind of like it's a way to stretch the clam out. Use the quahogs for that. But it may be a nice item for a cookout, because you can make them ahead. And you take you can either open the clams raw and chop them. What I did is just slightly steam them. Get the clam meat out, and save both halves of the shells. And what you're doing is kind of stretching this out into almost, like, really, literally a stuffing. New England style, of course, you would use the cracker crumbs. I made a topping for cod last night, the old buttery cracker. And Ritz would be, you know, Ritz or Hi-Ho's, any of those butter-flavored crackers would work. And season them up, a little drawn butter. Nice topping for fish or lobster. But the quahog, you'll use cracker crumbs, and some minced vegetables. Could be a little, you know, the trinity, onion, celery, peppers. And traditionally there would be some linguiça, the Portuguese sausage, or even chorizo, or any sausage you like. I'd prefer a smoked, spicier sausage myself. Wouldn't be as, you know, they're already cooked, so wouldn't be as oily. So you saute your vegetables, your sausage, everything minced up very small. You have the clam meat chopped up finely. Save the juice. You want to maybe add a little clam juice if you need to. You know, you're seasoning, a little mustard. Probably don't need salt. But 12 quahogs, 4 tablespoons of butter should be enough to saute all this in. And then a quarter cup or so of cracker crumbs. And what you do is you mix everything together. Once the vegetables are cooked, the sausage, put in the clam meats, the crumbs. And it should be like a Thanksgiving stuffing, but finely ground, not cubes of bread. And stuff the quahog. Now we do is mound it up on the one half, and then you put the other half of the clam back on it so it looks like its original self. Then you can bake them for a while. You can bake them open if you like, if you want kind of more of a crisp top on it. But really, if you bake them in the whole shell, what happens is they stay hot for a while. If you want to do them over the grill on a low temperature, if you want to do them in the oven and set them out. Of course, people should be aware of that when they're handling them. You pull the top part off, and normally served, I know when we're in a restaurant, they give you a little pat of butter and a little Tabasco sauce if you want to increase the heat. But you just melt the butter over that already buttery stuffing, and it's pretty good. You can flavor it, you know, season it the way you want, but the stuffies, they call them. But using the quahog clams, I did some oreganatas for a guest the other night. You know, they wanted casinos, but they didn't want bacon. They didn't want butter. And, you know, it was on the fly. It was during a service. So it's a little olive oil. It's almost like a white clam sauce, but using breadcrumbs instead of pasta, and put it on the raw clam. But this, the quahog, the stuffies, might be a fun thing to do. And they're relatively big. It's usually a side dish. And the interesting thing is, per piece, the quahog's not going to cost you much more than the other cherry stones or top necks, and you're going to get so much more out of it. We've got to break for a couple of messages. It's the quarter hour. We'll be back at the table and talk about your catering plans. Chef Bill's Table.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
the table here, finishing up, winding down another hour. I guess I rambled a little bit, but haven't figured out my algorithm yet. Anyway, catering, or using caterers, kind of a dual thing. And at the very least, as we mentioned at the start of the show, if you're having a graduate, you're going to have some kind of cake or dessert, and you're probably going to have a bakery do that for you. You can do many things now, you know, put a picture of your honoree on there. And you remember that, you know, the party is for the graduates. So some, you know, sometimes they're mixed. You got kids, you know, varying ages. Try to have their favorites. One thing about kids' food, adults are going to eat it too. So I've been at parties where, oh, we've got, you know, five or six kids, so just, you know, cook up a few hot dogs and have a little bit of macaroni and cheese, and they'll be happy. And next thing you know, the adults, oh, you know, everybody's a kid on a cookout day. So, yes, you can get food that would be geared toward the kids, but just bear in mind that all the big kids are going to jump in there. Nothing wrong with that. But see, sometimes people order too much food. And I guess the rule is, when we used to plan events, probably need to have about a pound and a quarter of food per person total. And that's between your proteins and things. And, you know, don't, and that's, you know, taking into account that people are going to be drinking beverages. Of course, every cup of a beverage is half a pound. And you talk about, you know, people getting filled up. Although I guess if you eat when you're standing, somebody told me the calories, they don't count, or I don't know, something nice like that anyway. But if people are just kind of noshing, nibbling, the slower rate people eat, of course, your appetite gets satisfied a little bit quicker. But yes, when you, you know, make sure you say your salads and your proteins, mainly with the protein, you want to make sure you have enough. If the fewer items you have, of course, then you'll plan more like you would, say, a dinner party. So if you're having, let's see, the simplest thing, you're having barbecued half chicken and, you know, a corn on the cob, a baked potato, and watermelons for dessert. So you know you need half a chicken for everybody. Some people may only want a quarter of a chicken. Some people just want the white meat, some just the dark. But basically, you need a half chicken for everybody. Throw a couple in there for a safety, and then you're fine. Or say if you're ordering barbecue from a place. Now, you start doing a combo, you have chicken and ribs. Okay, now it drops to maybe you only need a quarter of a chicken for each person. And you don't need a full rack of ribs. You may need, you know, a quarter rack of ribs. If you have many things, of course, many items, you don't need as much of each. You don't want to get, if you've got 30 people coming over, you don't want to get 30 portions of three different entrees. That's way too much. Now, what we do when we have requests for, and it's probably a good thing to ask the caterer, when you're getting, usually pans will say they always serves 8 to 10 people. Find out, unless it's very obvious, like, say, a pan of pulled pork, you know that that's something that's, you know, it's all chopped up already. But say a chicken dish, ask if the pieces are large or small. And if you have a lot of people, you're doing many items, ask that the pieces be cut small. And most legit operations will be able to do that for you. If they're not using something prepackaged, they'll obviously be able to cut the chicken and or whatever the, you know, if it's seafood, whatever it is, in smaller pieces. I know we do get requests, and sometimes you can just kind of read it. You know, if you see somebody's ordering a lot of pans, we know to make the pieces smaller, because now people are trying bites of things, so they're not going to, you're not going to need a full portion of everything. Salads, be careful, especially in the summertime, mayonnaise-based. If you're going to be out in the weather and you don't have them chilled, those can, they're a little bit less, you know, you can have some safety issues there. If they get too warm, and then, you know, put them in the cooler and then have them the next day, sometimes they can sour. That's why I like to go more grilled vegetables, vinaigrettes, things like that. And sturdy, you know, say my Asian salad is the best, but more cabbagey type items. Slaw, coleslaw is great. You can make, get a nice slaw maybe without the mayonnaise. Use just a sweet and sour dressing. And kind of avoid duplication. In other words, if you have potatoes, you don't need rice. If you have grilled vegetables out there, you don't need a hot vegetable. Think of, you know, what the flow of the party, too. And sometimes what we do is you'll have some things that are served first, kind of like, if you want to call them appetizers or teasers, nibbles and noshes, whatever your term would be, before the main event comes out. That's kind of a neat idea, too. Put a couple of items out early to get people started, and then the main event, of course, if you're grilling something, you know, say you're doing the standard hamburgers and hot dogs. Well, your hot dogs are hard to get too many. I mean, you could buy a 10 to the pound, I guess, get a smaller one. But with your burgers, if you have a lot of items, make sliders, make small ones. And I don't know, what I've done before is you just have a chafing dishes are nice. You have to watch it outside because of if it's windy, those sternos aren't going to really do too much. But if you're making burgers, you know, you're not worrying about rares and medium rares and things like that, especially if you have a lot of young people. Make them small, make them thin, fill a pan with them. Again, picnic food, not really like a dinner party where you're serving piping hot and everybody at the same time. People are going to be wandering around, so you get a couple of hot dishes, maybe a favorite. I know for us, of course, the mac and cheese is a favorite, and that, even as it cools off, is still pretty good. People seem to go after it all the time anyway. Pickups. Sometimes we'll do sliced sausages or little kebabs, things. But again, you want things that are going to hang well at room temperature or don't have to be kept piping hot. It's you want the food to be safe, but you also don't want to have to worry about managing temperature. So again, stay away from the danger stuff, too much dairy and things that are on foods, cream sauces, things that aren't going to look good or taste good as they cool off. Mustard spreads. We always, you know, we'll pregame. Again, you can always have some chips and dips and things like that, but, you know, you can probably do better. Although most people will expect something like that. The other thing, too, is when you're planning beverages, make sure there's plenty of water, especially out in the heat. And if people are swimming, you're losing water. Always a good thing to have. Especially if you're having alcohol or sugary drinks, you're going to make yourself even more thirsty. So enjoy your beverages. Don't overorder the food. Remember, the more items, the smaller the pieces you need, and you need less of each item. Keep in mind that total, pound and a quarter or so of food per person, and avoid too much duplication. Thanks for listening. Chef Bill, I got to sign off. Bumped up against the hour here. We'll talk to you next week. See what's eating of the week, and see how you're coming with. We got Lobster Day next Monday. Lots to talk about. So we'll catch up to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. President Obama says